The Lord's Evening Meal, 2018. The event was set thousands of years before Christ came to our earth. The Passover meal was God's miraculous deliverance of his people held captive by the power of darkness, Egypt. This is how you shall eat it: with your waist girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. That scripture was quoted from Exodus 12 and verse 11. God's people were delivered from the world into a covenant with God, making them, former slaves of Egypt, into a dedicated, free people for Yahweh himself. A place where God's Spirit would dwell in the holies of the holies. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left to the morning. Exodus 34 and verse 25. Exodus 13 and verse 9 says this: it shall be for a sign to you on your hand, and for a memorial between your eyes, that the law of Yahweh may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, Yahweh has brought you out of Egypt. This one place of all of God's creation on earth is where God would remove the sins of his people, providing them with a holy and righteous law. No other people were so uniquely chosen of God. No other people had a mediator between them and God for him to speak and to teach them the truth of God's law. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and fails to keep the Passover, that soul shall be cut off from his people, because he didn't offer the offering of Yahweh in its appointed season. That man shall bear his sins. Numbers chapter 9 and verse 13, and then verse 14 says, if a foreigner lives among you and desires to keep the Passover to Yahweh according to the statute of the Passover, and according to its ordinance, so shall he do. You shall have one statue, both for the foreigner and for him who is born in the land. Now Christ would take this sacred, undefiled night that had been celebrated for thousands of years and complete what God had sent Christ to come to earth for, to go only to his people, the Jews, and to institute a new living way into truth and spirit by his own blood. The last covenant, the everlasting covenant, instituted on the night of the Passover. Christ now is God's Passover lamb, who has become the reality of pure worship on earth by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and living way through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And that was taken from Hebrews 10 and verse 20. Christ would set the temple right. on this night. He would bring in the everlasting covenant that brought in true righteousness for mankind. Christ put away the laws of the flesh for the laws of the Spirit. Everything old would be set aside for making all things new on this very night. A new heavens, a new earth, a new creation where God's righteousness would dwell. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel's. That is quoted from Hebrews 12 and verse 24, and also it referenced back to Jeremiah 31 and verse 31, where he speaks of the law being written in the hearts of his people. Christ would deliver God's people from all powers of darkness into the wonderful light. Christ would defeat the power of darkness over the fallen flesh. He would remove death and Hades. Christ would replace the old mediator of Moses and give his people a new mediator of a new living law that was now written into their hearts and into their minds. The very promise of God was now coming true. This law would be by the finger of God, by his Holy Spirit, into all of his Son's hearts. For this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant. Since death has occurred for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first covenant, that those who have been called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9 and verse 15, being revealed that you are a letter of Christ, served by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in tablets that are hearts of flesh. The upper room. Christ had everything prepared for his disciples, and he moved them into the upper room, but soon their lives, unknowingly to them, would be moved from that old house on earth, fleshly Israel, into a new upper room, a room in heaven itself, where the Savior, Christ Jesus, would be seated in spirit and truth. The new king of a new living law of life and not death. From now on, the Son of Man will be seated, at the right hand of the power of God. Luke 22 and verse 69. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Colossians 3 and verse 1. The new covenant was not of the flesh like the old covenant was. The new covenant made no provision for the flesh, not even getting a full stomach. Not a provision was made for the flesh, brackets yeast. Now the Spirit must direct this night, for Christ would direct the lives of each of his disciples henceforth from above. No provision for flesh was made by the hands of the flesh for this night. Jesus answered, "Most certainly I tell you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. John 3 and verse 5, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 13. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. John 6 and verse 63. 7 days shall there be no yeast found in your house. For whoever eats that which is leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a foreigner or one born in the land. Exodus 12 and verse 19. The death of Christ's flesh was to be but a moment. However, his new life was eternal, an everlasting joy and glory. The power of yeast from the unleavened bread would finally be put away, far, far away, in Christ's incorruptible, undefiled life of the new heavens. These two worlds could never touch again. They could never corrupt God's people who would be born again, not by the wisdom of man's will, but by the very power of God's will in Jesus Christ. Purge out the old yeast, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed in our place. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And then verse 8 says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old yeast, neither with yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The new covenant would bring in an unshakable, everlasting kingdom that no power on this earth could enslave or shake again. Unlike the old covenant under Israel that was often defiled in its history by yeast, which brought God's people into captivity so many times in their past dead history that no longer was to exist in the new heavens. This phrase, yet once more, signifies the removing of those sayings that are shaken as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Therefore, receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let us have grace for which we serve God acceptably with reverence and awe. Yes, the fleshly Israel's temple and the city of Jerusalem and all of the things pertaining to that worship was shaking so badly that not a stone was left upon a stone. But none of those that were of the new heavens was shaken by that event. The next subheading is entitled The Focus. The upper room night was raised above self, brackets, flesh. The focus was on one thing and one thing only, the Christ, brackets, spirit. This event was not about our flesh, not about showing up because the flesh believed it's important for a sight show. None of the apostles invited themselves into that upper room for the Passover. They were invited by Holy Spirit through the head of the body who was creating all things new in Christ as the new temple of God, the living way of pure worship. It was His Spirit that invited these sons into that upper room. Having abolished in the flesh the hostility, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man of the two, making peace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25 says this: in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in memory of me. However, one of Christ's disciples made this event about himself, about his so-called superior knowledge he thought he could judge from his fleshly thoughts, something unrighteous about Christ, that the poor were being robbed of money that had been given to Christ for this night and many other parts of his ministry. But he found out quickly that his fleshly thoughts were not invited into the new living way of truth and spirit. Judas was uninvited and taken by the power of the flesh that the devil controls and that has enslaved all mankind into evil thoughts outside of that light of Christ, into the power of wicked spirit forces, and that God's word might be completed, that Christ would be betrayed and his flesh would die that night. Judas, who betrayed him, answered, it isn't me, is it, Rabbi? He said to him, you said it. Matthew 26 and verse 25. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords, clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. That was Matthew 26 and verse 47. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus said to him, buy the things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. John 13 and verse 29. Brothers, it was necessary that the scripture should be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who was guided to those who took Jesus. And that's taken from Acts chapter 1 and verse 16, when the brothers received the Holy Spirit. The next subtitle is No Obligation. Christ did not make a spirit-directed meal, an obligation, a law, a commandment. But do you know why? Well, it's very simple. The foundation stone that Christ built his house upon, the law of Christ, the royal law of love, the law of pure worship, Christ was establishing once for all times into an everlasting future for all those that love God. He who doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. Yes, the truth of the Spirit. And that was taken from 1 John 4 and verse 8. The truth of the Spirit is this: owe no one a single thing but love. Love is not an obligation. It is a joy. It is a freedom of pure, unadulterated worship for God. The old is gone. It no longer was judging the flesh, cutting off the flesh if one did not celebrate the Passover in fleshly Israel. All that was gone. Not loving God. And here's the point. Not loving God is really what cuts one off from God. And nothing more. The law only proved that none of us are righteous by our flesh. All of us fall short of God's glory. That is, having the light. And the light only comes through us in Jesus that has no sin. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And that's Romans 13 and verse 8. Let no man therefore judge you in eating or drinking or with respect to a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath day. And that was quoted from Colossians 2 and verse 16. Here is pure worship. If one did not love God, neither did one know God, who is love. Subsequently, the Spirit coming from the Father could not direct a person of the flesh to this meal. For the flesh must be put away from this meal. It cannot reside in Christ, our spirit leader. If one does not have Christ, then why are they celebrating his flesh, his death, instead of his new and living way by his Spirit? But I say, walk by Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That was taken from Galatians, the 5th chapter and verse 16. And Galatians 5:20. And I'm going to requote that. Galatians 5 and verse 13 states, "For you, brothers, were called for freedom. Only don't use your freedom for gains of the flesh, but through love be servants to one another." And Galatians 2 and verse 20 tells us, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Do they know that they are drinking judgment of death against their flesh on this very night? For all in Christ are put to death in their flesh and made alive in Christ in spirit and in truth. This meal is not about repentance of dead works. That was done once for all times before we ever ate of this meal, the Lord's meal. This meal is not about us. It is about Christ celebrating the new creation formed by the law of the new covenant. Therefore, we know no one after the flesh from now on. Even though we have known Christ after his flesh, yet now we know him so no more. We know him by the Spirit. That is the truth. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as a seed. Romans 9 and verse 8. Nothing old dwells in Christ, our new heavens. How can the new heavens be corruption of the old flesh? If it weren't for us being in Christ, there would be no new heavens for us. For none are righteous, but one. And all of us stem from one righteousness. That is Christ in us and us in him. For most certainly I tell you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see and didn't see them, and to hear the things which you hear and didn't hear them. They didn't have God's Holy Spirit creating them new as sons of God and being directed by the Spirit. That was taken from Matthew 13 and verse 17. So will it be in the end of the world. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the righteous. And that scripture was quoted from Matthew 13 and verse 49, because the righteousness that is separated is Christ's righteousness, not a person's own righteousness. By going to this meal does not make a person righteous. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I don't seek my own well, but the well of the Father who sent me. All those created as God's children are created by God's well. That's taken from John 5 and verse 30. As it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. And Philippians 3 and verse 9 brings this all into context. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. That which is from the old law, but that which is through faith in Christ. That is a righteousness which is from God by faith. That was Philippians 3 and verse 9. So the Lord's evening meal is not a gathering for a party of the flesh, a celebration of the flesh. It's not drinking of wine and having some nice bread. Christ is our living bread in heaven. He is a miraculous manna that feeds the body. The body is fed by spirit and truth. For the life of the body is spirit. That one may know we do not live by bread of this earth alone, but instead by every word coming from God's mouth, that which keeps the spirit of Christ alive in us. Food is for the belly, but not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about power and about righteousness found in God's righteousness for us, and that would be Christ Jesus, the Word of God. For those who are such don't serve our Lord, Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the innocent. Romans 16 and verse 8, Food is for the belly, and the belly for the foods, but God will bring to nothing both it in them. But the body is for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And I'm going to reread that because it didn't come out right. Let's try that again. Food for the belly, and the belly for the food, but God will bring to nothing both of them. But the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Whose end is destruction, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is their shame, who think about earthly things. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20. Yet, if because of food your brother is grieved, you walk no longer in love. Don't destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Romans 14 and verse 15. But food will not commend you to God, for neither if we don't eat are we the worst, nor if we eat are we the better. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. And all ate the same spiritual food. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Don't be carried away by various and strange teachings, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not by food, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. And that's Hebrews 13 and verse 9. So, at the Lord's evening meal, let's check our flesh at the door. For only one door God has opened where flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Let's put our fleshly head covering at the door on the hat rack and enter at our own peril, because we have come in to the holy place of God, the living spiritual temple of God, Christ Jesus. His home is not here on earth. It is not building up something that Christ took down and conquered this world and all flesh, that he gave his life up for us so that we can do the same. But in giving you this command, I don't praise you, that you come together not for the better, but for the worst. For first of all, when you come together in the assembly, I hear that division exists among you, and I partly believe it, for there also must be fractions among you, that those who are approved may be revealed among you. When therefore you assemble yourself together, it is not for the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first. One is hungry, and the other's drunk. What? Don't you have houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise God's assembly and put them to shame who don't have? What shall I tell you? Shall I praise you? Shall I praise you in this, but I don't praise you? For the Lord's evening meal and the emblems are not about eating and making oneself righteous or unrighteous by not eating, or whatever the flesh may want to dream up. That has nothing to do with the Lord's evening meal. Those things were put away in Christ's death. This is a remembrance, nothing more. The next subheading is entitled One Mind. Tonight, at the Lord's evening meal, there's only one mind at this meal. Not many minds, not many minds that are competing to have their own agendas met among the brothers. There are not many teachers at this meeting, but one mind, and there is one teacher, and that teacher is the Spirit of God that is found only in the one mind, which is Christ Jesus, that is fed through that body to all of its members. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Be perfected. Be comforted. Be of the same mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But we have Christ's mind, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, and that was also quoted from Isaiah 40 and verse 13. So we will let him speak and let him teach us in unity of spirit, for the flesh doesn't have any unity. It has but confusion and darkness. Are we not slaves of Christ Jesus, the gifts to his own body and not our own? We remember this, for this is a night of remembrance of the glory given to us freely in Christ. Let us remember Christ's death, but let us also remember that we live in Christ and Christ is in us. This night is not about future. It's really not about the past, but about the living way that's in us. We do not live in the past, for that is a negative, where life does not exist. We are not waiting to live in the future, or we haven't yet received the living life of Christ, our new heavens. So where is our mind set at this night, at the Lord's evening meal? For who makes you different? And what did you have that you didn't receive? But if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, therefore let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, all things present and all things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. The love of God is living in us. It's not a show for this world that doesn't know God's love. How can they, while they're living in the death of Christ, still waiting for the Holy Spirit that has formed our very breath, the very air that we breathe? Behold, how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. For this cause, the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. So, let us soberly look upon death and consider all we have received in life by Christ's death that is also in us, so we might live in him, letting us be elevated in Christ this night, like the Apostle John, being taken into the Spirit, as Christ announced to John that he is alive and holds the congregations of God in his right hand. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. Revelation 3 and verse 22. He had seven stars in his right hand. and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining at its brightest. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and saying, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will happen hereafter." And that was quoted from Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 through 19. The next subheading is entitled A Night of Faith. Only those putting faith in Christ were invited into the upper room. Only those in Christ will be invited into the upper room of the new heavens where Christ dwells tonight at the Lord's evening meal. If one makes this night about what we handle, or what we don't handle, or what we taste or don't taste, then we are worshiping at the altar rather than the creator of the altar for salvation. Yes, if one makes these emblems into a god, or the speaker who's giving the information, the date, the place, the time, how they look, or about the anointed, they have missed the Christ. The very reason we are able and do worship in spirit and truth on this very night. Yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom all, whom are all things, and we for him, and our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we live through him. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, for as a body is one, but it has many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, for no one can lay any other foundation than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, for I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. Christ is not a place on earth. Yeast is religion, which we are to remove from this night and every other day of being in Christ. Christ is in the upper room. He's not found here on earth. We can only be raised in Christ if we are walking in spirit and truth by our faith in him. Those that do not gather in spirit, where two or more are gathered in his name, are actually partaking of the world, which world is not in Christ Jesus. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. 1 John 4 and verse 5, we are of God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not of God doesn't listen to us. By this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6 and verse 9 of that same chapter states this, by this God's love was revealed in us, that God has sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So let us listen to what the Spirit says to the body of Christ on this evening. And if we do, then we will be united in one spirit, and we will rejoice in Christ tonight, the very thing that is well-pleasing in our Father Yahweh. Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride says, "Come." He who has ears, he who hears, let him say, "Come." He who is thirsty, let him come. He who desires, let him take the waters of life freely.